And now let's bring in Mr. Paul McKenna, top man, former Radio 1 disc jockey. Do-do-do-do, Paul McKenna.
Hey.
Morning, Paul. What are you laughing at?
No, I can't say.
How long have you...
We put a funny picture on Paul's monitor screen in front of him.
Yeah, that's just...
It's not rude or anything, it's just funny.
That is funny.
Yeah.
I have a story to tell you.
Will that put you off?
I can't tell you on the air, but I'll tell you when the records is playing.
Do you hate him?
No.
Oh, are you friends or not? I don't know.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah,
all right. Yeah. Something tells me you would look down on him slightly.
You see?
Right.
It's already started, hasn't it?
don't take a shot of it on the webcams. All right. Paul McKenna, welcome to the studio. Welcome back to
Thank
the show.
You. Yeah. And, you know, very nice to be back, actually.
Yeah.
I know. So I knew you were going to do that. So
I thought doing the Paul voice.
But he sees these lovely microphones, and because Radio 1's signal is compressed,
right.
Makes your voice sound deeper.
So you now pretty much live in America.
I do, yes.
I don't know when you were last on the show, but I know you were just about to go off.
Yeah.
And you signed some big deal out there
or
something.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and basically, I'm loving it. You know, it's a town of ruthless overachievers.
Where are you, L.A.?
In Los Angeles, yes.
Right. Mm. Yeah. Where do you live, up in the hills?
I do. I live in the Hollywood Hills. It's fantastic.
This is why you look so brown and healthy all the time, Paul.
Yes, I know. I'm living the dream.
Are you eating well?
Yeah, I am. Well, actually, do you know, I just went to that cafe across the road and had some egg and beans and bacon, you know, like, a proper English fry.
Oh, yeah. Right? They don't do a good English in America. They don't do a proper fry.
And they don't do a curry either.
No.
Really?
Yeah, I have to be careful to sort of limit myself to the number of curries when I get back here, because I tend to go mad. There's no curry there.
What do you how often are you back to the UK?
Well, it's probably about once a month, maybe even more. I mean, you know, I miss my friends and my parents particularly, and, you know, but, you know, it's nice to have a new challenge, and I'm loving it. It's fantastic.
What do you have in your kitchen cupboards from home? Like, do you have...
Oh, PG tips.
Do you have PG tips?
Yeah, and also brown sauce, you know, HP sauce and things like that. In fact, you can get a lot of these, because there's so many expats now in Los Angeles. In the same way we sort of invaded musically in the 60s, the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, we've done the same in television. So everywhere you go now, you know, it's Brits. And now you can get... You used to have to bring your own tea bags, but now you can buy them. So
what, in just the normal sort of supermarkets and stuff?
You have to go... There's a couple of places that's, you know... That
like
got
English
sort of
shops,
slightly,
right? Yeah. When I lived in Luxembourg, there was an English shop, and it sold everything that you could normally buy, like Frosties and pot noodle and Yorkshire tea and that, and like really expensive though.
Oh yeah.
When I was in Hong Kong, we used to be able to go to the NAFI, which is obviously the forces place, and you used to be able to get all sorts of things like sort of Monster Munch crisps and baked beans and all sorts of stuff that you couldn't.
Stamps for discount.
Yeah, all that.
Yeah.
So what are you doing out there? What's the show you're doing?
I'm just making a show at the moment with Ryan Seacrest. You know, he makes these fantastic cable... No, of course not, no. These fantastic cable shows, you know, like Cardassians. And I'm making a show with him called The Fixer. So,
and you are the fixer?
I am the fixer, yes. So I just shot the pilot and... worked with a guy with the stutter, who's now cured and can speak normally. And a girl with rage disorder, yeah.
A girl with rage disorder?
I mean, serious rage disorder. Like, if she hits anyone else, she goes to jail. And
I think I've been out with her.
Mm.
She's from Leeds, by any chance. Mm.
She was an interesting character. And so it's their journey of how they, you know, how they get better and, you know, what made them that way. And it's a sort of feel-good show.
And the guy with the stutter?
Cured, yeah. I mean, his stutter was about as bad as I've ever heard. And then, you know, he could speak at his... He spoke eloquently at his 21st birthday. And, you know, he'd never kissed a girl. He'd sort of, you know, had terrible self-esteem issues. And now, you know, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's never kissed a girl, not because of his stutter. He must have been
so shy, you know.
Oh, right,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so he just couldn't, you know...
Am I right in saying, I'm no expert, but with stutters and stammerers, a lot of it is, or the majority of it is confidence. They fear, they panic.
Yeah, what it is it's actually a breathing issue, is that they breathe all the way out, and then they don't breathe in. And so if you know, or they take really short breaths. So part of it's mechanics. And then, as you say, some of it is just confidence, is that they think they're going to stutter, so they get stressed, so then they end up doing it, you know.
I did that in a dentist chair. Mm. I breathe out, but I can't breathe back in again.
Really?
Hmm.
Why is that?
I don't know. And as soon as I was aware of it, I had a good few treatments a couple of years ago, and I noticed when I was in the chair, I closed my throat and I can't and I can't breathe through my nose, and I would have to make a conscious effort to breathe in, and the dentist kept saying, "Oi, breathe."
Yeah. Paul, you know when you if you're looking at someone like that with a stutter or a stammer or some kind of, do you then have to actually come at it from a medical perspective as well? You know what you're saying about sort of breathing in and breathing out. Obviously, do you then have to sort of go down that route and see how it mechanically works and almost learn medically?
Well, yeah, I mean, it would be. That would be physiology. I mean, medicine, is not my area.
Medicine is maybe not the right word, but
physiology. Yeah, some of it's physiological. You know, is mechanics, as you say, and so even though normally you would associate what I do with sort of psychological things, you know, confidence, that sort of stuff. Yeah, sometimes if there's a the mind and body are linked, so so one will affect the other. So you do have to go at it to some extent from that. In fact, what I think we'll do today with you with the dancing on ice, because you want some confidence for it, right?
Well, yeah, if I was nervous about Sunday, which obviously I'm not, I would like something to try and calm my nerves just before I go out there.
Vodka.
Yeah, we
gin.
That's the problem.
Half a bottle.
You see, that's the problem with a show like this, unlike other shows, is that you can't have a couple of pints before you go on, because it massively affects your skating.
Denise Welsh will.
No, she won't.
Okay,
no,
she won't.
I'll do. You know, like the athletes call it being in the zone.
Yeah,
we'll do it like that. We'll put you in the zone.
Okay.
Wow,
yeah,
in the zone.
In the zone.
It's gonna be fascinating.
Yeah, in the zone. I'm trying to see if we have any zone music.
In the ice zone.
Maybe some like Twilight Zone or something.
Mm. Twiglet Zone.
In the this is a bit. That was a bit adventure.
Give me some echo.
Yeah. Yeah, that was kind of a strange adventure, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, all right. I'm trying my best, for God's sake.
Oh, this is more... that could be...
See, the music's terrifying.
Dark Urban Streets.
Yeah, the music's terrifying itself.
Oh, that is... They're chasing me down a dark alley. Right?
This isn't helping.
This is... No. It's not bad.
I don't know. Right.
I want to skate.
Yeah, right.
I want to skate.
What about this theme music? Is this
that? Is very campy. Yeah,
similar.
Yeah.
All right. So what do you get? What? So now I know.
Yeah.
I don't want to interrupt, but I know that Paul is. Yeah. I've seen Paul do this confidence thing before of locking in like a memory and a feeling, and then tapping back into that, like, so just say you're in the wings about to go on.
Yeah.
He's good at that.
Can I tell you what I fear at the moment and where my head is?
Spiders.
Is the fact that I'm not scared. I am a little bit scared of spiders. Right. Anyway, only the really big ones. I worry that I'll be there, stood with my partner Frankie, just before we skate out, and suddenly my mind will go blank.
Yeah.
I know I can do this routine, and I've done it several times over the past weeks and months, but I worry that I will just have a brain freeze and go blank and then be stranded live on the telly in HD on ice.
You know, that's not an uncommon fear. Even professional performers get that. They think that suddenly they're just going to forget their...
Yeah.
Actors get it. They think they can forget their lines, you know, comedians think they just won't be able to be funny or something. I've heard this a lot, and a lot of that is to do with confidence.
That's the mental side, and the physical side is the fact that I worry from my experience of doing this a little bit before in rehearsals is that my legs will go to jelly.
Yeah.
And I can't control them. And
I can have your legs will never actually physically turn into jelly.
I know, but they feel like they're shaking. So I have this mental paranoia, and also I worry that my legs will also start to shake.
I can help you with both. Do you want to do it now?
Why not?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Is this music all right for you?
Yeah, I'm loving this. But I tell you what we need to do is stand up for this one. Because what I'm going to do is, Aikido technique.
I'm just going to put the desk up a wee bit.
Okay,
good idea.
So Aikido is a martial art, but there's a fantastic technique in Aikido, which makes you physically and psychologically strong. And I'm going to show you on me first, Dave. So look, as I stand here, right?
We've got to move the mics, otherwise the cameras are too low.
How's that?
Okay, so what I want you to do is just, if you come here, I want you to just push up my shoulder harder and harder, like you're going to push me over, okay? Mm-hmm. So at the moment, I'm up here in my head, most people would be in the Western world. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to move my attention, and I'm going to put it in what the Japanese call the heart. I'm going to put it in my stomach. I'm going to put it just...
In your core?
That's right. I'm going to put my attention, my brain in my tummy, if you like. Okay, so now, push on my shoulder, right? and push harder and harder and harder. And I'm not using any strength resisting, but I've become physically stronger, right?
Physically stronger.
But also psychologically stronger. So if you come here for a sec, here we go. So if I just turn you this way, there we go, like that. Now, let me just, if you put your arms by your side, let me just test in the clear first of all. Okay, so right now, you're in your head, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what I want you to do is move your attention and put it in your tummy. Put your brain in your tummy. We call it one point in Aikido.
Yeah,
one point. I'm going to push as hard as I can. And I can't push you over. You see?
Wow, he's not pushing him over. He's not budging.
You have become strong like a bull. Yeah?
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, now this is...
I can push him over. Can I have a go?
Yeah,
I'll run it.
Cool, right. Here we go. Here we go.
You could knock over a rhino.
All right. So now this is the cool thing. So when you think about... when is it you're doing? So,
Sunday night.
Sunday night, right. On a scale of 1 to 10, where's the stress? Where's the fear about forgetting your moves and your legs going to jelly? Scale of 1 to 10.
Oh, probably about a 7 or an
7
8.
Or 8. Here we go. Here's the cool thing. So if you come stand here, Dave, and I just do it. There you go. So put your brain in your tummy. That's it. Strong. That's it. There we go. Strong, strong, strong. There we go.
He's trying to move. He can't move.
Now, there we go. Tell me, when you think about Sunday night on a scale of 1 to 10, where's the fear now? Give me the new number.
It's dropping. Six.
Six. Okay, wow. Great. Tell me when it goes to five.
Five.
Tell me when it goes to four.
You really feel it dropping?
Yeah, I feel better.
Really?
Yeah, four.
Yeah. Tell me when it goes to three.
Yeah. Three.
Three, I'm ready to do it now.
So, yeah, okay. Now, this is the cool bit, right? So now what we're going to do is we're going to take this resourceful state three to, you know, so there's hardly any fear there. Now, imagine the whole thing going perfectly the way you want it to. And this is I do this with athletes all the time. In fact, with many, you know, different stage performers. They use these techniques before they go on the stage. So before... Roger Daltrey walked on the stage at the Super Bowl this year and sang to a billion people. He uses my confidence CD.
Oh, you big show off.
Yeah. Russell Brand uses this before he walks on the stage.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely this stuff. This is exactly the same, yeah. So you're in a world-class league now. Here we go. So now, imagine it goes with a challenge or two. Imagine there's a mistake, or maybe you do forget a move, or imagine, you know, things don't go quite so good. But you stay in this resourceful place. Because, see, we can't control everything that's going to happen to us. We've got a big say in how we think and feel. So we go, now imagine it going perfectly again.
Yeah.
And then imagine it doesn't go so good. But you stay in this good place no matter what happens.
It goes wrong, but I get back up and carry on.
Yeah, there
we
go. So where's the stress level now on a scale of 1 to 10?
It's a lot better. It's like a sort of... Like, I say probably a 3.
A 3, yeah.
I'd be lying if I said that I wasn't still concerned about Sunday night's performance, but I feel more positive and keen to do it.
Now, can I try and get that number back up to 8 again?
Are you going to show the outfit?
Yeah. Okay, now, Dave, you're going to embarrass yourself in front of millions and millions
You're not
of
helping.
People. All right. Your agent will drop you, and you'll be living in a box. You're not going to be the worst. I would take solace in that as well.
Yeah, but you don't know that, though, because people can crumble under pressure.
True.
That's true, yeah.
See, Paul's great, isn't he?
But do you know what?
Do you get bored of doing that?
No, I love it.
You've done it a million times.
No, I love it. I love doing it, you know. But each time is different, each person is different. And, you know, yeah, I like my job, you know.
Can I just say, by the way, for anybody, and this is not, I've not been told to say this, I'm saying this from the heart.
Mm.
If you're watching the webcams and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm going to try that with my mate. Let me just warn you now, I did it with Paul before, and then I went to the pub and I went, oh, I want to see Paul McKenney. It's brilliant. Just this thing where, right, try and push me over, right? Push me. Right, just push me, and I was moving, and then I did this, right, and now this my centre point, or whatever he says, and then, right, and now push me again as hard as you can, and my mate pushed me over.
Yeah.
And I fell over, and everybody in the pub laughed at me, and I knocked a table of beer flying, cost me a fortune.
Yeah.
So don't, seriously, for your own...
Don't try this at home.
Yeah, not for safety, it's more embarrassment levels.
It's interesting, though, what you say about putting, you know, yourself mentally into your stomach and your core, because by doing that, by having a strong core, massively helps with this particular activity, with skating and stuff.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Everything has to be strong here.
Strong here, you're absolutely right. And look at the difference. So from, you know, being a 7, it's now a 3. There should be a bit, you know. I mean, you need, you know, if you were totally relaxed, there was no fear at all, that you'd have no edge on the night, you know. So
I think even professional skaters will always have a little bit of edge before they go out to do anything. Yeah. Any performer would, wouldn't they?
So they should,
I like Paul. Thank
you, Paul.
No, my pleasure.
Thank you.
The good thing is with Paul, right, because he's fascinating on all this kind of stuff, but then if you really scratch away at him... he'll tell you about, well, of course, and the Egyptians were doing this kind of thing. And his knowledge of it all is brilliant. But he also has got loads of great stories and slags off loads of disc jockeys. Brilliant. Oh, I have a beer with Paul. It's a never-ending ride of fun.
I know it is. I love a good showbiz story.
Oh, I love me and Paul met at some party a couple of years ago, and we just sat and bitched about loads of people for hours.
Do you remember that was the one where we did that dreadful thing on Dom? Where do you remember we were saying I could read his mind?
Yeah.
And you'd given me all the answers.
Oh, yeah.
And he had, I think it's fair to say, a bit of a sense of humour failure about it, didn't he? He was like, I trusted you. I thought you were a professional.
Tell the name of Dom's wife and his school.
His car.
But the thing with Dominic is that he's so good in these experiments because he's
a gullible fool.
The most gullible person we've ever met.
The man's a fool, aren't you, Dominic? Hey! Listen, we've run out of time, which is a shame. How long are you back for? How long are you around for?
Till Monday.
Oh, gosh, you really are just in and out.
Mm. Yeah, I know. It's a shame. So, but I try and get to see everybody when I'm here, and it's actually very nice to see you. I haven't seen you for ages.
Oh, bless you. Paul's book, the new book, is I Can Make You Happy, which is... I like that.
Thank you.
Now, is that everything? Is that like... Does it cover lots of different things, or just...
It's meant to be, happiness is, you know what it's like. I mean, it's not the same as pleasure. You know, you can get pleasure from, I don't know, a bar of chocolate or, you know, a new pair of, you know, shoes or something like that.
Mainly chocolate for me, out of those two.
Chocolate more than shoes.
Yeah. But if they're chocolate shoes, Paul, I'll get giddy as a hamster.
The chocolate, though, is transit. You know, it's temporary, isn't it? The pleasure will fade, and if you eat too much chocolate, you get sick. So the thing is that happiness is really there or not all the time. It's the backdrop, really. It's the sort of default setting. Mm. And this is the hardest book I've ever written, actually. But it's aimed at people who are really down or in a bad place. People actually got quite a nice life, nice house, nice kids, nice wife, car, whatever. But they still think, is this all there is? Or they get into some bad places from time to time. Or people like us who are really quite happy, but want to be even happier.
That's right. I'm very happy.
You're really happy.
Yeah.
Very content.
I'm bouncing around, I'm so miserable it hurts. She's a miserable, depressed person.
Well, then this book's for you.
When's it out now?
It's number two book this week. I'm being beaten by the bloke who cut his arm off. 79 copies ahead of me.
But the guy who what? Cut his arm? Well, the guy...
From the movie,
guy fell down the little... Fell down the little... Quite a big... I'm going to go and buy Paul's book.
It's weird. Hello, Paul.
Because I want to be happy.
I realize.
Will it stop me from sitting at home crying into a pot noodle every night?
Brilliant.
Sometimes the more you have, it doesn't necessarily mean the happier you are.
Oh, absolutely. The lottery winners, most of them are no happier a year later. And
I don't believe that.
Yeah, that's
we should do an experiment. Yeah. Give us all £1 million each.
Yeah.
And in a year's time, come back and ask if we're happy. I'll tell you yes.
Well, according to the research, you might not be that much happier. I mean, look, if money was...
I'd like to give it a go.
But what about all the miserable rich people? What about them?
Well, that's true. Look at Duncan Bannatyne.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's miserable.
True story.
Yeah.
That is true. Some of the happiest people I ever met were in Uganda, where we went out there last year.
Yeah.
And that was one of the things I took from that trip, was that, it's not down to money.
Yeah.
Although Peter Jones, I've met him. He's happy all the time. Yeah. He's a multi-millionaire. And I've got to be honest, I've never seen that fella have a bad day.
Really?
So I don't know what the moral of the story is, really.
Good point, actually, Be his friend.
Yeah. He seems very happy. I think you know when people say money doesn't buy you happiness, he says it can.
Yeah.
But I shouldn't go into that.
Yeah.
Morning, Peter. All right, so Paul's book is I Can Make You Happy. I've noticed that I saw one of your shows on Sky the other day. Sky seems to be still showing.
Do you know? Yeah, I know.
Did
people
they do a buyout on that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy about it. I mean, but it must be like 6 or 7 years old.
Actually. Yeah,
it's still. I mean, one of the ones I did for them, I think, was the highest rating show they'd ever had.
Right,
and so I think it must still be getting the ratings. I mean, at the time it was hugely successful, but yeah, it's still showing, and I'm proud of it. Actually, that's fantastic.
There's so many things I've known Paul on and off for a few years. There's so many things that I've picked up and retained from our conversations, off the air and on the
Them have been with a little help from a couple of pints, so I'm now worried about what some of those things are.
Oh, no. Well, no, that's fine. That's all just slanging people off a few pints like that.
Which is, yeah.
But there's certain things like conscious eating and that kind of thing. All that stays with me and, you know.
Brilliant.
and the tapping technique.
Yeah.
I don't do that. It just scares me that I look stupid enough that I forget what I'm scared about. So before I get in an aeroplane, when I sit in an aeroplane now, yeah. I go, right, I used to do that tapping routine and everybody would look at me and think I was insane. Oh, my God, that used to make me feel... and then I panic about that. I forget about the flying. I'm fine. Yeah.
Do you know what I thought?
And you know what else is good for my flying? We've got to be honest. Prescription sleeping tablets. What's a treat?
Fantastic. Do you know what I thought? It's one of the funniest things I always remember you said. And I do this now. Is you, when you say you get on an aeroplane and you think, if this one were to crash, am I the only celebrity? Will it be, you know, some huge person?
And also on the plane. Right,
and also on the plane was Radio 1 DJ Chris Moyles.
Yeah, there was me. There was Jack Osborne, Ozzy's son.
Yeah.
There was Mark Owen and Gary Barlow from Take That. And there was David Beckham. And we're all sitting in the same bit of the plane. And I thought, if this goes down now, who will be last on that list? Will it be... Jack, will it be, and also Chris Moyles and Jack Osborne?
I think it would be Jack, wouldn't it? David Beckham clearly.
So I'd be bottom, second to bottom.
And they would say, take that, you know.
They'd and love Beck's them together.
That would be the headline.
Yeah.
No, I don't know if it would.
Take that.
Well, listen, I wish we could do longer, but when you come back,
I would love to come
for the whole show.
Oh, I'd love to,
and just hang out. And,
I'd love it.
Do a show. Just come and do a show.
I would love to. Do you know, I get this sort of anorak in me comes to the surface when I'm here. I start looking at the kit, you know, the desk and all the different technical sides, things that you do. It's a very nice studio, this
one. Yeah, but see, I think, you know, Paul could do it. You know, he was a good DJ. Okay. Paul McKenna! Like that.
Yeah, oh, I loved it.
Is he McKenna in the morning? Why do you fill in for us for a week? We'll go and live in your house in LA.
Yeah.
And you do this show for a week.
How would the house look when I got back, though?
Immaculate, because we'll bring Allard.
Yeah, excellent.
He's very clean.
I'm there. I'm down with that.
You know the stereotype I get about gay people being really tidy and keep... Yeah. It's a lie. Yeah. Trust me.
Sorry.
When you see his place, it's like a bomb's gone off. All right, look, we've got to do the code now.
But, yeah, I understand.
Paul McKenna, lovely to see you. Paul McKenna's
love
book
you, mate. Fantastic.
Is I Can Make
Thank You
Happy.
You. Okay.
It's out now.
Thank you, Paul.
Go and buy it and be happy and also make Paul happy. How much is the book?
I think usually about a tenner. $10.99, I think.
Yeah, How to Make Paul McKenna Happy.
But there's discounts.
All right. I'll go looking. Paul McKenna, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you.
And Dave, just remember what he taught you. Do you remember that? Center.
I'll be thinking about you, Paul, on Sunday night. Thank you for your help.
Yeah, one point.
Yeah. Your dancing partner, Frankie, who's 3'1", I bet she won't be able to push you over on Sunday night.
Let's hope not.
Well, I can't believe it's Friday already. All day I keep forgetting. So, golden hour time. All you got to do is tell us the year. You remember the golden hour, Paul?
I still love the golden hour.
But what was the year? Is that... Were you?
Yes.
All right, thank you. That's right. So...